Book of Genesis, chapter number 22, and try to read a few verses here and give you what's on our heart for the service this morning. Certainly desire your prayers that the Lord would help us. Need His touch and need His help today. Genesis chapter 22, when you found your place, if you're physically able and willing to do so, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. Genesis chapter 22. And I realize that we were in this chapter and read these same verses a couple months ago and preached from this chapter about these two men who were unnamed and about their willingness to abide. But the Lord has directed our heart again to these verses. I will try to read them and give you what's on our heart for the service this morning. Genesis 22 and verse number 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. They went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I'm interested this morning, if the Lord would help me for just a few minutes, in this place. It's mentioned four times in the 14 verses that we read in your hearing this morning. In verse number 3, the Bible said that after the word of God comes to Abraham, that Abraham rose up early in the morning and he went unto the place of which God had told him. In verse number 4, the Bible said on the third day that Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. In verse number 9 it says, And they came to the place which God had told him of. In verse number 14 it says that Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. And I begin to think about how apparent it is in the Scripture that God had a specific place for Abraham to get to. The Bible said in the first verse that after these things, that is all the events of Abraham's life up to this place, that God had prepared Abraham for this day, that the Word of God came to Abraham. And he said, Abraham, and Abraham said, here am I. And the Lord said, I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac, who you love, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him for a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. In other words, God said, Abraham, I have a place for you to get to. I want you to go and follow my direction, my leadership, and I'll let you know when you're in that place. The book of Hebrews said that Abraham, by faith, when he was called to go out, went, not knowing whither he went. He just knew that God had a place. And so I want to say this morning that you and I have a place. God has a specific place for you and for me. And the Lord began to deal with my heart in this scripture about this place and how blessed a day it was when Abraham found his place. And I want to preach this morning, if God will help me for just a few minutes, on finding your place. I believe that God had a place for Abraham, and he has a place for you and I. But now I want to say this, the place that God has for you is the place of your full potential. You will never, I'm not saying you can't do good for God, I'm not saying that your life won't be blessed, but I'm saying that until you get in your place, that place God has for you, you will never reach your full potential as a child of God. Sometimes we don't like our place. Sometimes we don't like the place that God has called us to serve. I began to think, as Brother Tim had taught in the days gone by, about Jonah. You know, God had a place for Jonah, and it was Nineveh, and Jonah didn't want to go. But what a blessed happening. We could preach and talk about Jonah's rebellion. We could talk about Jonah's unhappiness after the fact. But the reality of that story is what a blessed event took place when the man of God, the child of God, caught in his place. It wasn't till Jonah got in his place that the Bible said there were 70,000 people, 60,000 people that did not know good from evil, and they repented, and God turned his wrath away when his child got in his place. Every one of us has a Nineveh. I remember I didn't hear it in person, but I had a cassette tape at the house from years ago, maybe in the early 90s or late 80s. Brother Hanley Miller preaching a message on where is your Nineveh. We all have a place that God has set for all of us. And until we find our place and get in our place, we'll never be what God has really designed for us to be, but we can be. It will get in our place. Abraham had a place. Now the reality of the fact is that it was not so much what Abraham would do for God in this place, but it was what God would do for Abraham in this place. And so your place this morning, if you're worried about what God has asked of you to do, if you're dissatisfied and unhappy about your place, remember this, if it's God's place for your heart, it's not so much what you can do for God, but what God will do for you. If you find your place, get in your place, stay in your place. It's untold what God can do. I believe that's right. And so I begin to think about this place that we have as the people of God. My heart and mind went to, I believe it's the book of 1 Corinthians when Paul is writing to that church at Corinth and he's describing the body of Christ and he's likening it to a physical body. And he said that God has set every member in the body as it seemed good for God to place it. And so what that means is every body member has its place. We can't all be eyes, or we can't all be ears, or we can't all be hands and all be feet, but we all have our place. And when every member's in its place and function in its rightful place, then the body works together and can do what it needs to do. And so here we are this morning on the side of the road at Gospel Way Baptist Church, and we are, I understand, that what Paul was writing about was the entire body of Christ. But you and I are a collective body here in this church. And for our church to operate in the capacity that God desires is that we all get in our place. It's not a derogatory thing. You know, we live in this day and certain words and statements are made and we have past understandings, you know, and we think when somebody tells us to get in our place, we think it's a negative thing. I'm not preaching anything negative this morning. I'm preaching positive that God has a place in His divine will, in His sovereignty, in His plan. He has designed a place. He has set you in the body. That seems good to Him to place you. We ought to thank God we're just in the body. But God has a place for all of us, and where we need to be is in our place that God's gave for us. That place, what is that place? Well, I began to just sit there yesterday and God began to deal with my heart about this place that you and I have. This place we have with God, as it was for Abraham and others. Abraham's not the only one that we read about in the Scripture that had his place. There are many, many examples, some we'll mention, some we won't, in the Scriptures where the people of God had their place. And where God did miraculous things, when the people just got in their place. I want to say this place is a place for walking. There is a place for the child of God to walk with God. We sung this morning in the Sunday school hour about hand in hand. We walk each day, hand in hand, along the way. The writer knew what they were saying. They weren't talking about sinless perfection or ever reaching that plateau where we think that we have arrived. But the writer is saying that if we walk hand in hand with Him, we cannot stray. We'll walk in the right way. The place where we need to walk is hand in hand with Him. I thought about Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? I looked up that word agreed last night. And you know what it means? Ain't it amazing that God knew what He was doing when He wrote the book? And it means to come up to a specific place. That means where two meet up at a specific place. You can't start one place and I start somewhere else and us walk together. But if we come to an agreed place, a specific place, a set place, where we can start from there and walk together hand in hand along the way. That's what God wants to do with us, is that we come to that place. You say, what is that place, preacher? Well, I can't really be specific, because only you know your place. God has a place for you. My place is not your place, and your place is not mine. But there is a place where we need to get to. And until we get in that place, we can never really walk with God as we ought to walk in our place. We live in a day where people would take that verse, you know, can two walk together except they be agreed. And I've preached before about in days gone by about walking in agreement with the Lord. And that's what we're going to have to do. But the reality of walking in agreement with Him is not that we're somehow trying to get Him to agree to our way, or that we're trying to bend Him to fit our standards. That's what the world thinks they're doing. They're trying to do, but it don't work. But it's the fact, just like we preached on Wednesday night, that He is moving us to His standards. And if we're going to walk with Him, He's not going to change. And so if we're going to walk with Him, we must walk as He walks. You say, what is that, preacher? Well, Brother Chick talked this morning out of 1 John. And in 1 John chapter 1, I began last night, and the Lord just began to speak to my heart about this place to walk. And this is what John said, that we're to walk in the light as He is in the light. And that's our place, to walk in the light of the Word of God that He has shown unto us. Now I'm going to tell you this morning, this work of sanctification is a progressive work. You don't get saved today and know everything there is to know about God in the Bible the moment you get saved. Oh, that's why the Bible teaches that it is a new birth, a new beginning. It is a start. And so you're to walk in as much light as He's giving you. And if you walk in that light, He'll give you more light. And you'll learn of Him. Oh, that's why the writer wrote the song, I want to know more about my Jesus. Yes, I do. And if you'll walk in your praise, He'll let you know more about Himself and what's pleasing unto Him. Amen. And so there's a place to walk, and that is in agreement with Him and in the light. We cannot walk in darkness, we walk in the light. We are saved, if we're saved, by the grace of God, the Bible teaches, that we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of His dear Son. That He brought us out of darkness and brought us into His marvelous light. That's what this Bible is. Paul said it was the light of the glorious gospel. And it's been shed abroad in our heart. Paul, you termed it like this. That the God of heaven that said, let there be light in Genesis 1, and the world's life is the same God that in the sinner's heart by the work of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel and the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost says, let there be light, and He awakens the sinner to their condition, saves that sinner from death, destruction and hell, brings them out of darkness and puts them into the light. By nature, men don't like darkness. John said that Jesus was the light that should come into the world. Jesus said men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And they won't come to the light lest their deeds should be reproved. By nature, the flesh doesn't like the light. You know why? Because if you go home this evening, when it gets dark outside, your house can be as dirty as it's ever been. You can turn off the light and not see it and put it out of mind. And that's the way an unawakened sinner is. That's the way these people are. We all the time say they ought to do better. A sinner can't do better. A dead man can't do better. They just do what they do by nature. And that's to be a sinner. But if God ever turns the light on, that there's no denying then. You can walk in the dark and overlook everything that's wrong. But if the light ever gets turned on, there's no denying it. You know what's wrong, what needs to be done. That's the way God operates, is in the light. And He don't want His children walking in the dark. Many people in our day that I believe probably are saved, they're trying their best to walk in the dark because they don't like what the light shows. I'm going to tell you in this day, even after we're saved, that there are some days that the light, what it shows, is not very present when it digs in our hole. The Bible said this word, it's like a looking glass that we look into, and we look in the mirror and we see all the problems, all the spots, all the blemishes. But if we'll get that right and stay in our place, God will use us in our place for His glory. And so it is a place to walk. But then the Lord began to deal with my heart. Now, I just got two more things and I'll be done. But this place that we are to get in, this place that God has for us, is not just a place to walk, but it is a place to work. The Christian life is not being born again and occupying about 18 inches of the pew until the Lord comes back and we go on to glory and then just skating in by the skin of our teeth. But it is a call to service and a call to work.
Amen.
It's a place to work. There's a place for us to work in this place. This place where the Lord wants us to be. And by the way, if you really want to think about what this place is, I think that Moses experienced the definition of this place by the mouth of God better than anybody else in the Bible. When Moses said, and he was leading the children of Israel, they were murmuring, they were complaining. God had said he would just destroy it all, raise up a new generation. But Moses said, no, I'm one of them. I don't want them dead. And he said, we want to go to that land that you've given to us. But Moses said, Lord, if you're not going, we're not going. He said, let your presence give us a testimony, give us a token, show us for sure that thy presence goeth with us. Moses said, if your presence go not up with us, carry us not up hence. It's in the book of Exodus, in that experience that Moses had on the mountain. And the Lord spoke to Moses, and this is what he said. He said, there is a place by me. And that's where God desires for every child of God to be. Your place may be different than mine in its function. It may be different than mine in what scene. But in reality, all in our place, this morning as a child of God is a place by Him. And that's a place to work. I thought about there are many places we could go in the Scripture, but I'm just going to try to follow what the Lord put on my heart. But I thought about old Nehemiah over there. When Nehemiah gets word about Jerusalem, how the walls are broken down, the gates are burned with fire, and the remnants in captivity and reproach. And in Nehemiah chapter 1, he prays and fasts before the God of heaven, and he says, Father, God, I'm sorry. It's me and my father's house that have sinned. It's my fault and their fault, and we need to get right again. And in chapter 2, he goes to Jerusalem and he begins to overview the work of it needs to be done, and the work is great. And he rallies the people together and he said, you see the approach that we're in, how Jerusalem lays before us, the walls are broken down and the gates are burned with fire. By the way, the walls represent protection. The walls represent separation. It's to keep out what ought not to be in and to keep in what ought not to be out. And it was broken down. And in our day today, the walls of the people of God have been broken down, and the things that ought not to go out are going out, and the things that ought not to come in are coming in among us. And without the walls there could be no gates. You had to have the walls to set up the gates. And in the Word of God, the gates always speak of praise and worship. And there can be no praise and worship without right separation between the Lord and the church. And so there's a work to be done. Nehemiah said, the work before us is very great. He said, let's rise up and build. And in chapter number 3, if you'll go home and read it, Nehemiah divvied out of the portions of the wall. And he got this man and his family. And if you read and really look at the language, y'all go home and read it sometime. In Nehemiah chapter 3, many of them were told to build against their house. Many of them had houses that were built on or onto the wall. And so Nehemiah went to this family. And he went to the husband of that family, the leader. And by the way, that's still right. The husband is the spiritual leader of the house. He's still meant to be the head of the house. He'll still give an account to God for the way that house is led. And so Nehemiah went to that husband, that father, that leader, and he said, this is your portion. I want you to build here. And he went to the next one and said, now this is your portion. I want you to build here. But some may have had bigger portions than others, and they all served in different places. But this is what God put on my heart. You and I may not all have the same place. Some places are bigger than others. Some words are bigger than others. But they all labored toward the same end result. That was to build the wall. There weren't no, if I read my Bible correctly, the Lord didn't put it in there. There weren't no squabbles. about this one wanted that one's place and that one wanted this one's place. They just took the place that the man of God had said for them to be in, and they built their place. They repaired their wall. They all worked together in unity and unison with each other in mind. And they did a work the enemy said could never be done. The enemy laughed at them. The enemy stopped at them. But by them being in their place, working together in love and unity, they repaired the wall and became no more reproach in the eyes of God. And we have a place to work, a specific place. Then the Lord began to carry my mind over yonder in the Gospels, when there was a man that was sick of the palsy, and the Lord had come again into Capernaum, and had come in the house. And the Bible said that it was noised abroad, and that he was in the house, and the people gathered, and so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. That meant that they were packed in the house as tight as they could get, and spilling out the door, and you couldn't even get to the door to see him. But they knew there was four men that had a friend who was sick of the palsy, and he lay on a bed. And he couldn't get to the Lord on his own. And so the Bible said they come unto him being one which was born of four. And now that means they all four had to carry their corner. And I don't read where one squabbled about whether they were in the front or the back or the left or the right. And they just carried their corner. And in doing so, they got the man to the Lord. And I'm telling you this morning, it's not about what I can do and you can do. But I just want to grab my corner and hope that you'll grab yours. And let's head in God's direction and see what God can do. If we'll give it our praise and work in our praise. By the way, if you read the scripture, when they got that man to the Lord, they got him there and they couldn't get him in. And the majority of people, they bound to not being Baptists, and I'm not being funny, I'm just being a realist. They bound to not being Baptists, because if they'd have seen the crowd, they'd have turned around and went home. But the Bible said they climbed up on the roof, and they took the tiling up, and they let him down on the bed, down to where Jesus was. But the reality of it is this, go home and read the story. The Bible said when he, it didn't say when the Lord saw the man's faith. It said when he, Jesus, saw their faith, he saith under the sick of the palsy, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Now ain't it amazing how many people you've got in your life? Maybe they're lost. Maybe they're sick. Maybe they have troubles. Maybe they have needs. I don't know. I can read between the lines of the scripture all I want to, but it ain't in there. I just wonder if maybe one of these men was closer to the man than the others. But he said, I love this man. And maybe the other three loved the one that loved the man. And so they might not have known the man that well, but they loved the one that was on the back corner. And so because they loved him, they helped him carry his load. I'm telling you, I may not know your loved ones. I may not know your problems. I may not know your troubles. I may not understand your fears. But if we're in the same family and the child of God, we ought to love one another and help bear each other's burdens. It's still in the book. Bear ye one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. I understand the verses in there that every man ought to bear his own burden. And I understand that, but what that means is that when we rally around one another, it's not the one that's burdened's time to let go, but it's our time to pick up the slack that they can't carry and carry one another's burdens. And in doing so, we fulfill the law of Christ. There's a place for us to work in this place. But then the Lord spoke to my heart and He said, this place is not just a place for us to work. But if we'll get in our place, this place is a place for God to work. And I said already this text that we read this morning is not so much a story about what Abraham did for God. But it's really a story about what God did for Abraham. That's why when Abraham got to the end, Abraham named that place Jehovah Jireh, which means my Lord will provide. And so Abraham left the testimony that in this place God worked and took care of him when it seemed there was no way. God made a way. Abraham didn't know what God was going to do. Abraham didn't know how God was going to do it. According to the book of Hebrews, Abraham had enough faith to believe that if he was to have to sacrifice his son, that he knew the command and the promise and the covenant of God, and he accounted that God was able also to raise Isaac from the dead. I think what Abraham really believed in his heart was that he was going to walk with his son over the top of the mountain, or that he was going to tie and read the scripture again that we read this morning. He was bound as a sacrifice would be bound, laid on the wood, who would have his throat slit and his blood drained and them set on fire. Or that Abraham believed that God, because God swore, or when he could swear by no greater, or God swore by himself.
Right.
And Abraham believed that from the ashes, God would raise Isaac from the dead. But Abraham had no idea how God would provide. And I'm going to tell you, in my mind, and if you'll be honest, sometimes in yours, we get an idea of how we think that God is going to do things. And the way we think sometimes are great and wonderful, and I'm not knocking you. We all have that tendency, you know, to plan it out in our mind. All right, God, we're going to get to this place, and I'm going to have to do this, but I know you're able. And there's nothing wrong with that, believing in the ability of God. But what a blessing when we just get in our place, and God is above and beyond what we can even imagine God can do. That verse is still in that book, that He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And so get into our place is not just so that we can work, but get into our place where God wants us to be, and so God can do what God wants to do in our lives for us. That place. Abraham had that place where God could work. I thought about Elijah. If you read over there when Elijah appeared before Ahab, and he said, "The Lord God of heaven has said, there'll be no dew nor rain according to these years, but according to my word." And he walked away, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, "Arise and get thee by the brook Kereth and dwell there." He said, "Behold, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there." Now Elijah could have said, "Now Lord, there's better brook." Could have been like Naaman, you know. Naaman had a place. The man of God said for him to dip 7 times in the river of Jordan, and his flesh would become again like a little child. He was a leper. Naaman said, "Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel?" But see, the reality was, if God was going to do His work, it's not that God can't, and it's not that God is limited, but God is sovereign. Now I know we don't understand that word. It just means He has authority above everybody else. And this may not make any sense to you, but God will limit Himself. He has the power to do so. What God said to Naaman through the man of God is, "If you will go to Jordan, I'll make you whole." God could have made him whole in Abana and Pharpar. But God said it's at Jordan. That's the place. And Elijah could have said, "Now Lord, there are better brooks than Kereth to go to." But I'm going to tell you something. The Lord commanded the ravens to go to Kereth. And you can believe what you want to. This is my opinion. You don't have to agree. I believe the ravens would have dropped bread and flesh morning and evening, whether Elijah was there or not. It was up to Elijah to get in his place. And the Lord said, "If you'll get there, I'll work for you." And Elijah went there. Sometimes the theirs of our life change. The Bible said after a while, the brook dried up. Now Elijah has willed where God said for him to go. Elijah's in his place, but now his place is going to change. See, the reality is our function may not change. He was still the man of God. He was still the prophet. But God had another place for him. It's not this morning that I'm preaching that there's some magical area that you can get to. And then once you get to that place, it's all, we all have troubles, we all have heartaches, things happen, situations change, we live in the flesh. The only thing that doesn't change is that this world is ever changing. God, I understand that God doesn't change. But sometimes we go to our place, we think everything's running well. I don't know how long Elijah was there, but it must have been pretty good. get his morning and evening meal and drink of the brook, and everything's calm. Everybody else is in a whirlwind worrying about everything that's going on. Elijah's down there hiding by the Lord. But the brook dried up. And I want you to know this morning it didn't catch God by surprise. He already had a place. He said, "Rise! Go to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Now, I said earlier, sometimes we don't like our place. Sometimes we question our place. If you study the Word of God, the Jezebel, who was the queen of Israel, was from Zidon. She was queen of the Zidonians. And so God is taking the man of God, who they hate, and putting him right where she's from. But the Lord said, "Don't worry about it. If it's the place I have for you, I'll take care of you the whole time." And Elijah goes. There's the widow woman. She's gathering sticks. He said, "Go, will you get me something to drink?" She doesn't question, doesn't hesitate. She goes. Now the Lord's already told Elijah that he's commanded her. The Lord said, "I've made a place." He said, "While you're going, will you bring me a morsel of bread?" And he thinks everything's going to go, you know, he'd been down there by the brook. Everything's been so smooth. She said, "I don't have a cake." She said, "I have a handful of meal in the barrel and a little oil in the cruse." She said, "I'm going to take these two sticks and I'm going to dress it for me and my son. We're going to eat it and we're going to die." And Elijah, in that Bible right there, it said he's subject to like passions as we are. He's a human being with flesh, with doubts, with questions and fears, just like you and me. And I almost guarantee in his heart, something rose up and said, "What have I done? I've missed the place." But somewhere between her response and Elijah's comes a word from God. And you know what? Elijah was reminded that day, and I've preached before weeks and weeks and months ago. Elijah learned at Zarephath that the same God that was God at the brook can be God at the bottom of the barrel. And Elijah said, "Fear not, go and be as thou said, but make me a cake first, for the Lord hath said, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the crucible fail, till the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." And the Bible said, "And she and he and her house did eat many days." You say, what happened? Elijah got in his place. Now I'm going to tell you something right here that the Lord and the Word of God reveals about our place. Elijah getting in his place did not just impact Elijah. It wasn't just a blessing to Elijah. But it was because Elijah got in his place that she and he and her house did eat many days. And so us being in our place is just not all about us. The Bible said when one member suffers, we all suffer. That there should be no schism in the body, no division, but that all the members should have care one for another. We get in our place, not just for our betterment, not just for God's glory, but so that God can work through us to help others. This place is a place to walk. This place is a place to work. I want to say, last thing, I'm done. Was in a service last night at Brother Preston Riddle's church. Brother Jeremy Oakley was in. And he preached last night about Mary and Martha. And that's where all this, the Lord used that service to begin working all this in my heart for this morning. I'm going to tell you about this place. If we get in our place, it will become a place of worship. We struggle sometimes and we think this walk's hard and this work's hard. I'm going to tell you something. It ain't all just about walking and working. But if we get in our place, we'll find it's a place of worship. You say, "What are you talking about, preacher?" Well, if you go over there in the Gospels and you read where Jesus comes into the house of Martha and He sits down at the table. And Martha's cumbered about with much serving. But Mary sits at His feet and hears His Word. And Martha says, "Lord, you tell Mary to get up and come help me." And we criticize Martha a lot, but Martha's doing the best she can with good intentions. The Lord is in her house. And Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you're careful about many things." He said, "But there's one thing only that's needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, And that's to be at His feet to worship Him. I'm going to tell you that place by Him is not just about a place of walking. It's not just about a place of working. But oh, thank the Lord, if we can get in that place, we can worship Him. We can sit at His feet. We can hear His Word. He can speak to us. And we can worship Him. The Lord told Moses, there is a place by me. You can't see my face, but I'll put you in the cleft of a rock. And when I pass by, I'll take my hand away, and you'll see my bad parts. And the Lord did so. And Moses experienced something on the mountain in his place of worship and glory of God that nobody else experienced. All because he was in that place that God wanted him to be. Abraham built an altar. After that, all this was over, he sacrificed and he worshiped God because he got in his place. How many others in the Scripture just got in their place and it allowed them to worship God because that place was a place of worship? How about you this morning? Are you in your place? Have you found your place? Do you desire to find your place? Do you want to stay more in your place? Do you want to walk closer in the place? Do you want to work harder in the place? Do you want to worship stronger in your place? It's all available to us as the people of God. As we stand all over the house this morning, God spoke to your heart about your place. About fulfilling that place, being in that place. Would you come this morning?